Welcome, my name is Divine. This is episode 485 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be addressing a simple topic titled How to Interview Like a Rockstar. How to Interview Like a Rockstar. This podcast, I would say, is applicable to people that are going through the residency interview process or going through the fellowship interview process. Or if you're a pre-med student applying to med school, this will help. Honestly, the rules and principles discussed here will help you pretty much every kind of interview that you're doing. So let's just get right into it. So what are some very good principles behind interviewing well? Because I know some people probably have the interviews coming up soon. The first thing I would say is this: make sure you have a good background. It's just common sense. And again, I'm just going to give some principles. But again, I feel like these principles will really help you. Make sure you have a good background. It's well lit, not some crazy place or whatever. That's always a good thing to keep in mind. Second thing to keep in mind is your dressing. Make sure you're dressed properly. Don't be dressed too casually. And also don't be dressed in a lewd fashion, right? So just be wise. You understand what I mean by dressing in lewd fashion. And honestly, let your dressing not attract too much attention. Maybe let me put it that way, because there's just certain dress modes. And again, I feel like the people listening to this, you're wise enough, you're a med student, you should understand what I mean, right? You don't have to be dressed like a person where, wow, they see your dress and is eye popping. You just want to keep a certain degree of balance with your dressing. Right. Even the way you look, if you're a guy, just look clean shaven if possible. If clean shaven does not mean no beard, right? If you have a beard, you have a mustache, it's not a big deal, but let it be clean. Let the lines be clean, right? Don't have extensive amounts of facial modifications, makeup, right? Again, just be reasonable is what I'm trying to say. Again, I'm just giving some broad generalizations, but again, I think you understand what I mean. Let it not be like they are watching a fashion show when you're going through a Zoom interview, right? And this applies to guys and ladies. Just be reasonable in the way you look, right? Don't look shabby, but don't look too stimulating, right? Just kind of keep things balanced. Dress neatly. Your mustache should be, or beard should be, decent, right? Just look clean is what I'm trying to say. Now, the next thing I'm going to say is check your Wi-Fi, right? You don't want Wi-Fi issues to be why the person that's interviewing you is not able to hear what you're saying or see you well or anything like that. And then another thing I would also recommend is practice with someone your facial positioning. You see some people when they do Zoom interviews, it almost looks like they are looking at the ceiling or like you're reading off of a script. The thing is, your computer should have a place. So practice this with someone. Should have a place where you put a sticky note where if you're looking at that sticky note, it looks like you're looking straight into the eyes of the interviewer on the other end of the Zoom call. That's just a smart, prudent thing to do, right? Another thing I'll also say is just be careful of background noise. You see some people, they have so much background noise. You can barely hear what they're saying, like a baby is crying in the background or whatever. Just try to eliminate that if that is possible. Now, next thing I would say, so I'm not even numbering these. I'm just giving a bunch of principles. But again, these things are very helpful. And next thing I'll say is just be very conversational. Don't be don't have a stilted voice. Don't be like a person that is reading off of a script. You see people, they interview, and you kind of feel like, man, these people are reading off a script. No, you should sound conversational. For example, let me use three sentences. Just imagine a person speaking like this. My name is Divine. I come from this. I do this. I do that. When you talk so fast like that, honestly, it gives a rehearsed view of you. People feel like, oh, this person rehearsed this speech, right? But if you say, good morning, my name is Divine. I am excited to meet you here today. Thank you for inviting me to join your residency program on an interview. I love this program. Just a certain tone of voice, a certain calmness. It just makes people know that, okay, this person is a normal human being. that's just always a smart thing to do. Another thing I will say as well is try to go down a little bit on the ums and ahs. This is a mistake I know I make myself, but it's something I try to be intentional about in many settings and not do it. But I'm not saying eliminate them completely, but try to keep them to a minimum if you can. Now, another thing I'm going to say is, in terms of the length of time you spend responding to questions, be prudent. Don't go too deep, right? You see some medical students, they spend 7 minutes answering a single question. It makes you and the interviewer anxious because the interviewer probably has like 7 standardized questions they have to go through. And if you spend 7 minutes just going through one and the interview is supposed to be like 15 minutes, you've pretty much crushed the interview. The person essentially does not have time to ask you other things or get the amount of information he wants from you. So the general rule I like to give people is this. For most of the questions you get, try to keep your responses down to like 2 minutes. Keep it down to like 2 minutes or less. The only questions where I would say, oh, you should really spend some time, you know, like 4 minutes max, is answering questions about like why you want to go into a particular discipline. Basically, like if a question demands an elaborate answer, then yes, you should try to spend like 3, maybe 4 minutes. But honestly, 4 minutes is pushing it for most questions. Most questions should be answered in under 2 minutes. Another principle I would say that also helps is the use of transitions. They ask you a question and you're responding to that question. Don't just go straight to the answer. It doesn't make any sense. Say, for example, they ask you, what are you looking for in this residency program? Don't say, I'm looking for a program that does this, that does that. No. You can just say, there are many wonderful things about your program that I love, but I want to highlight about 4 or 5 of them that I hold most dear to my heart. You know, that's a transition statement. It's almost like you're giving like a header for the stuff you're going into. So give transitions. Don't just drop a bombshell on the interviewer. Give a transition, like 1 or 2 sentences that just expresses, okay, this is the general idea. Now let me go into specifics. And this kind of bleeds into the next point. And the next point I'm going to talk about here is itemizing things. Itemize. What do I mean by itemization? So say, for example, they're asking you why you want to go into XYZ specialty. Don't just reel off your points. Say, my first reason, my second reason, my third reason, my fourth reason, my fifth reason. That's a smart way to go about things. Itemize. The thing is, I've been on an admissions committee before, and when an interviewer is listening to you, they're writing notes on you. It's extremely difficult for them to write notes when you're not itemizing. It's extremely easy for them to write notes on you when you're itemizing things for them. If you say, oh, my first reason for wanting to go into XYZ specialty is this. My second reasoning, oh, number 3, number 4. Literally, they'll be writing down those numbers as they're interviewing you. If they're writing down those numbers, it's those same notes that they're going to present to a larger admissions committee when they are having a committee meeting. So make their lives easy from the get-go. Just literally make their lives easy from the get-go. It's just going to help you and it's going to help them. If you present yourself in a clear manner, then they can write clear itemized notes on you. And on the basis of that, they can give a clear itemized presentation of you to the larger residency selection committee. Again, just a smart principle to keep in mind. And again, kind of bleeds into the next principle. Don't talk in circles. Don't talk in circles. You see many interviewees, they just talk in circles. They're trying to make one point, but then they go round and round and round and round and round and round and round. Round and round and round and round and round. Right? And then they then land on their point. No, that's not smart. Just get to the point. That's usually a smart thing to do. Now, there are certain basic questions that you know you want to be ready to answer, right? Like, obviously, like why you want to go into a certain specialty. You'd have a good answer for that. And you should have like 4 or 5 good reasons. You see some people, oh, why do you want to go into this specialty? And they only have like 1 or 2 good reasons. That's not good enough. You need to have like 4 or 5 good, well, detailed reasons. I mean, wherever possible, if you can give an example, that's usually a smart thing to do. Again, don't give too many examples, but like one or two is usually pretty helpful. You also want to be able to answer like, what are you looking for in a program? And again, when they ask you, what are you looking for in a program, make sure what you're looking for fits the program that you're interviewing with. Just a smart thing to kind of keep in mind. I think that's a good thing to know. Also be ready for curveball questions, like mistakes you may have made in the past, or they can even give you a situation where something unpleasant may have happened and they try to see how you handle those things. There's nothing wrong about asking the interviewer to give you a few seconds to think. There's nothing wrong about that. Many people think that, oh, if I spend time thinking, it's bad. No, it's not. It just shows the interviewer that you're like a human being. You're not like AI. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just don't spend too much time thinking. You want to just be a natural person. So don't spend like 2 minutes before you answer the question. You know, you want that your thinking time to be like 10, maybe 12 seconds, right? And I'm sure if you do some digging online, you can see curveball questions. And just prepare to be able to answer those and answer those well. And honestly, even with those curveball questions, it's maybe not a good thing to just jump straight into the answer. Like literally as the question is leaving the interviewer's lips within like 10 seconds. I mean, within like a second, boom, you've started throwing out your answer. They'll know that you've memorized the response. Again, it's not just good. So just be wise, right? Don't do that to yourself. And then another thing I would also say is typically at the end of the interviewer asks, do you have any questions for me? Don't ask only one question, please. And don't ask three. Two is a good number. The thing is, you don't want to ask too few questions to demonstrate no interest, but you don't want to ask too many questions to then begin to annoy the person that's interviewing you. So just be wise about that. Be wise about that. You know, do you have any questions for me? Just have like two questions. And again, don't let them be like cliche questions, right? Like just ask some good questions. Ask some good questions, well thought out questions. And don't be asking questions about that can give off lazy vibes on your part. Like stuff that you can easily look up online or asking the program like how's their schedule. And honestly, even questions that are very testy. What do I mean by testy questions? Just questions that are kind of like controversial. That's not your job. You're not a politician. Those things you can get them answered in either by a resident or just do your own digging. But there are just some questions that demonstrate a certain lack of intelligence, to put it mildly, right? So you see people, for example, imagine like asking the interviewer about their opinions on some political issue. Again, I know some interviewers are pretty... Interviewees are pretty bold. They want to establish themselves. Honestly, that's not the way to establish yourself. Like, oh, let me ask some controversial question and it will make me more memorable. Well, I mean, it may, but it may also just straight up blow up in your face. So why take that risk, right? You see some people, they use interviews to try to do all this virtue signaling. Just look up that term. I'm sure it's something that you see a lot in medical students, virtue signaling. They probably don't even care a lick about an issue. But during an interview season, they suddenly care about that issue and they want to talk about it in very spirited fashion. Again, some people see right through all the charade. So just be careful about that. Just be careful about that. And obviously, at the end of the interview, kind of thank them. Thank them for the interview. Now, one other principle I want to mention is don't be preemptive. Basically, answer the question you're asked, not anything beyond that. You see some students, they start off the interview like, oh, tell me a bit about yourself. When they say, tell me a bit about yourself, they're literally asking, tell me about yourself. Like, who are you? What's your age? What family are you from? Where are you from? Where did you grow up? What are your hobbies? That's what they're asking. They're not asking, why do you want to go into this specialty? It's really annoying. And again, you can see, if you're an experienced interviewer, you can see right through the entire charade. You see med students and they're asking, oh, tell me about yourself. They say like one or two things about themselves, and then you see them start adding salt and pepper to the whole thing. They start talking about why they're interested in this specialty, why they're interested in that program. Again, it's very annoying to a good interviewer. So again, I'll just encourage you, just be wise. And then another thing I'll also say is establish ties to the program with your interview. Like if there's someone you know in the program, mention that name stealthily, right? Just mention, oh, there's this person that is like my, let's say he's a relative of yours, oh, this relative of mine trained here, he's doing really well. I said I should say hello to you, and make sure you actually did say you should say hello to them, right? Or this environment, I'm a person that loves the outdoors, loves skiing or whatever, and let's say the place is like a ski town, something like that. Just use with wisdom and prudence, establish ties to the program with your speech. Basically, by saying certain things, you can make a program like, wow, this is a person that will fit like a glove in this place. It's just like, say, for example, you're interviewing for the Los Angeles Lakers and you show them like, basically like talk about how you fit with a player like LeBron or a player like Anthony Davis. Oh, I can throw alley-oops. I can do the pick and roll really well. Man, I can shoot the three like no man's business. I'm not afraid of the bright lights kind of deal. Like just establish ties. Many people think that they only establish ties with the application. You can establish ties to a program with your interview. Just again, prudent things to kind of keep in mind. And then another thing I'm just going to say is be truthful. Don't lie. Because again, if you lie, when your lie is found out, and it will be found out at some point, you'll get in trouble. The other thing I'll say though is beware of the hero complex. Like, oh, tell me about a mistake you've made. And then you see people talking about mistakes and it's not really a mistake. And then they establish themselves as heroes. It just reeks of pride and arrogance and it doesn't come across well. So be careful about that. And don't have things that are super egregious, right? Just have something that give basically balanced responses. Give balanced responses. So again, I think these are just things that I feel like generally for most people make sense. If you follow these rules, I think you'll be in pretty, pretty good shape. And again, read your application, read about the program, read about the residents, so they just have a decent knowledge, a decent idea of what a programmer looks like. So I think I'm going to go ahead and stop here. Again, I offer mock interview prep. So if you're interested, just shoot me an email. My schedule fills up pretty quickly. So just shoot me an email. We can set up something. And then I have review courses starting on Thursday, test taking course on Thursday. I have a biostats class on Friday and a social sciences and quality improvement, ethics, professionalism class on Saturday. I have a podcast I made on those. These are all for step 1 to step 3 and complex 1 to 3. And then I do have a 20-hour step 2, step 3 course. And it also helps with CCSE, you know, like comp exams for some of these Caribbean Med students. So if you're interested in any of those, just shoot me an email and I can give you some more information. But please use these rules. Again, I think they really do help. You know, I have these podcasts on the major apps, Apple, Google, Spotify. I have a YouTube channel, Divine Intervention, USMLE podcasts and videos. And then I also offer one-on-one tutoring for all the USMLE and Comlex exams. And then finally, I would say I also have another website called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. I have more than 200 podcasts on there every week. For the most part, I try to put up 2 podcasts. Using the Bible, I try to discuss a life lesson. Many people have listened to those and found them to be pretty helpful. There's actually an Apple podcast associated with that called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. So thank you for joining me today. I'll see you in episode 486. God bless you, and I wish you all the best with your interview season. Bye for now. Thank you.